Hello and welcome to the Encounter Mercy podcast. I'm your host, Vince Dragone, and I have with me my co-host, Father Andy Boyd. How you doing, Andy?
Pretty good, Vince. How about you?
I'm doing exceptionally well. This is our very first podcast, and I'm extremely excited about it. So who is Encounter Mercy? Well, we are two guys who want to bring the faith to the rest of the world. And Encounter Mercy is going to be a Catholic podcast for everybody, not just Catholics. We're going to target mainly on the younger side. And when I say younger, I'm talking like, you know, 18 to 44, 45, somewhere in there. However, I know my grandfather is going to be listening, and he's, I think he's 75 now or 76.
I'm sure my parents are going to listen to, or at least my mother.
Oh, yeah. So our goal is every week we're going to post an episode. Typically, I think we're going to shoot for Wednesdays. We are going to shoot for Wednesdays. Every Wednesday, there'll be an episode posted, whether it's you can find us on YouTube. Well, you will eventually be able to find us on YouTube. You'll be able to find us on Apple Podcasts, on the Androids. Well, I don't even know.
Store. Yeah, the Google Play Store will
Google
be there.
Google Play. Okay.
You can find us always and find out even more information about where you can find us at all times. You can always check us out on our website, encountermercy.com or .org. We'll be at both. And you can see more information there about where to get a hold of us and how to get to contact us. And soon enough, we will have our Google Voice number up available, so you can give us a call and leave your own feedback, because in the future we'd like to do a few listener participatory podcasts where you can then call in and leave us a question and we'll do our best to try to answer it. I'm not going to be able to say that I can give an answer to every question because I'm not that smart, but you know, as we said, I'm still pretty damn smart.
Yeah. You're definitely not humble in that regard.
Absolutely not. What is humility?
Yeah. So thanks for swooping in there. That's what a good co-host does when I'm tripping up. You just swoop right in and take over. So
as always, like I said, I'm not humble at all. Like, what is humility? I'm not going to let that happen.
Yeah. So we're going to tackle all sorts of topics, some that you may have heard of already, other ones that may be news to you, whether even if you're a cradle Catholic. Probably especially if you're a cradle Catholic. Absolutely. I mean, I know I was, and there's so much that I just learned in the past couple of years that it's like, wow, why didn't I learn that whenever I was in CCD? So that's the goal. And hopefully this is something that you can enjoy and you can listen to us weekly. So with that being said, I guess we can kind of jump right in and talk about who we are. What gives us any authority to even pontificate about these things?
Who is Vince Dragone? Tell me. I have to know. I know you, and I think our relationship is a very interesting relationship on how we actually became friends, because it's not like we didn't go to school together.
No.
We didn't grow up together.
Nope.
You're not in my parish.
Nope.
So it's a really interesting way that we became friends, but even before that, like, tell me a little bit about the Vince that I don't know.
All right. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And for everybody, we're based in Erie, Pennsylvania. Well, the Diocese of Erie. Right now we're sitting at your house in Meadville. I live in Erie, and we're going to switch. Andy's going to come up to my basement, and we're going to record in my studio. And I'm going to come down here and record in his studio. Because it's about, for those of you who don't know, it's about a 35-minute drive. So I can't expect Andy to come up all the time and vice versa. So we're going to kind of go back and forth to record episodes. But I grew up in Pittsburgh, which is just under now 2 hours from Erie. It was 2 hours before they raised the speed limit. Now you can get there in under 2 hours. Small little town called Bellevue, just outside the city. And I grew up in a Catholic family. And, you know, the one thing that I'm not, I guess, a huge fan of when it comes to the Diocese of Pittsburgh is they confirm in eighth grade. So after eighth grade, I just felt like I was kind of off the hook. Didn't have to go to CCD anymore. Didn't have to do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I fell away. I really did. And it really wasn't until my daughter was born 3 years ago that I just felt that I needed to come back. I felt very strong desire to come back. And in doing so, you know, I just kind of immersed myself, as I do with everything, into, you know, what is it about the faith that makes us, you know, Catholic, you know, the true church.
Absolutely.
What makes us the true church compared to all these other ones?
Right.
And I found the answer, and I found the answer mainly through apologetics. That's something that I absolutely adore. My wife, on the other hand, hates it. But it's something that I'm an analytical person, and I love to see, show me it.
Right.
And so, you know, that's kind of what started me on my journey. And, you know, with that being said, we have two beautiful children. We're going, you know, we go to church regularly. And we, you know, we trying to think of, you know, how to say it, but you know, our lives have really been transformed.
Sure. Sure. So I guess the best way to look at that in that understanding is you talk about that you have been transformed, but what exactly do you mean by that? And I think the reason why I'm asking this question is that it, being that this is going to be more of an episode, I'm sorry, listeners, but this is going to be more of an episode like you're interviewing me and I'm interviewing
you. Sure.
Because our relationship, like I said, I alluded to, our relationship really kind of formed in a weird way, one sense.
It did. So I moved to Erie to go to Mercyhurst University. And while I was there, the first week, I met a guy down the hall, Jeremy Kuhn, and we hit it off instantly. And, you know, the next year we roomed together, and I actually lived at his house over the summer because I didn't want to go back to Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Because I had because I had a job at the ambulance service, and I thought that was the coolest thing. And it was through mutual friends.
Yeah.
That, you know, you went to school with Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy's a year ahead of me at prep, and then his younger brother Zach was a year behind me at Cathedral Prep, the Catholic school up in Erie. And so Zach and I were very good friends in high school, and Jeremy as well. So the three of us would pile around a lot. And when you were living with Zach, Jeremy and Zach,
I would tag along, and I'm like, oh, there's a guy in seminary. That's weird. I've never really met a young priest my age.
Yeah.
And it was before you were a priest, but it was like, well, this is kind of cool. Like I got a friend who's a little, you know, he's got my, you know, got God's ear for me. So, you know, we started hanging out, and I think, we kind of hit it off. Now, we never really hung out a whole lot. We never really did a whole lot, but we always kept in touch.
Yeah.
And I always felt that you were somebody that I could reach out to if I needed to, just, you know, whether it's asking for prayers or advice. And I know I've asked you for advice several times. And it was just one day that, you know, I'm praying before bed, and all of a sudden, it just comes to me, do a podcast with Andy. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And so I was like, no. So I thought about it, and then I texted you the next day, and you were like, yeah, I've been wanting to do that for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, what the?
Yeah.
This is just funny how that worked out. So we got together and decided, hey, this is something that we're going to do. And we're going to try to share the faith with people. And from my, you know, you're a priest.
Yeah.
You've gone through how many years of schooling?
8 years of studies for this, and the last 4 years were extremely intense in this whole process.
And you went to Catholic school.
I've been in Catholic education my entire life. Everything from kindergarten all the way through, every bit of education has been in a Catholic institution, from attending Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Erie to going to Cathedral Prep, all male high school, Catholic school.
You're talking too much now.
Yeah.
Quick, you got to be humble now.
Yeah,
turn.
You keep talking. But yeah, you're right.
But
I'm a priest, and we are.
And plus the experience that you've had now as a priest after you've been ordained. So you have a lot more experience than I do. And so, you know, I'm here to learn. I really am. And that might sound a little selfish to, you know, but I want to share what I do know. And I want everyone to know that, you know, you don't have to be perfect in this. I'm certainly not. I'm learning every single day. And I just find, you know, it's something that, you know, when we get closer to the Lord, that's my goal, And it's my goal to help other people along the way, with, you know, as I move forward with it and my whole entire family and everything. So as I learn these things, as I talk to you, as we, you know, with the, all the episodes that we have planned, we have some pretty cool episodes planned.
Yeah.
It's a learning experience for me as well. So I'm the dumb guy and you're the smart guy, but I'm hoping that
in ways don't, you know, don't.
Well, no, I see, I'm humble.
Oh, okay. Okay. My mistake. I see where we're going with this now. Okay.
Although I think if you say that you're humble, that means you're not, but, no, when it comes to this stuff, you know, I'm very heavy into the apologetics,
sure,
but I know that it can turn a lot of people off.
Sure.
And so I don't want to get into a whole lot of apologetics on this. We will, trust me,
we're gonna have to get into it.
But, you know, when I first came back about a little over 3 years ago and I got into the apologetics, I noticed that I was missing something. And it was more of the faith aspect. It was the relationship with God. I could defend him.
Sure.
You know, to anybody.
Sure.
But I didn't have that relationship. And just so for over the, you know, the past couple of years since I've recognized that, it's been trying to have, you know, more of that relationship. And I still read up on the apologetics. I listen to Catholic Answers Live, all their episodes, love it. But I really want to get into, to become more of a well-rounded Catholic Christian.
Sure.
So on top of all this, I'll give you a little detail about, you know, what I do. I do a couple of things mainly for fun. My main job, I work in a manufacturing facility in Erie. I'm in the engineering, quality, and procurement department. Kind of do a lot of things there. I work part-time for fun as a game warden in Pennsylvania. I know not too many people meet game wardens, and if you do, usually it's under bad circumstances. But it's something that, you know, I enjoy. I like being in the outdoors. I like helping people, and that's what I've always wanted to do. You know, I was a firefighter for almost 10 years. I worked for an ambulance service for a while as well. I've just always wanted to help people, and that's part of this too.
Yeah.
You know, that's my mission. I feel like if I'm not actively helping somebody, or I'm not actively growing and helping, you know, bring people along with me, that I just feel lazy. So this all kind of ties in together. Hobbies of mine: I like to brew beer. I like to collect whiskey. I like photography, you know, those kind of things. Hunting, being out in the woods. And I love hanging out with my children and my wife. So that's a little bit about me. And you'll learn a lot more, as I'm sure, as we go along, if you choose to follow our podcast. But just know that I'm not, you know, I'm not Andy Boyd over here.
No.
And, and, you know, I'm just a regular guy. And I really hope that, you know, that helps other regular guys and gals, that, you know, you don't have to know everything, and that's okay. And that's why you can ask questions. And a lot of it's faith. It really is. I mean, I fall back on faith a lot, and that, to me, I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
So what about you, Andy? Who are you?
I'm just nobody.
Oh, now you're nobody, huh?
Oh, my gosh. That is a good question.
Where to start?
Yeah, where to start? It all started on May 2nd, 1992 in Warren, Pennsylvania, when the illustrious Andrew Boyd was born to Michael and Margaret Boyd.
Stop it. You're making me sick.
Yeah, I know. Who am I? Well, as you know, I am a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Erie. And on June 8th of 2018... along with my classmate, Father Ian McElrath, we were both ordained for the Diocese of Erie.
Praise God.
After studying for 8 years and going through a lot of time. And, you know, when we first met, of course, like we were saying a few moments ago, it was in the backyard. You guys were swimming at Zach and Jeremy's house,
yeah,
in their mm-hmm. pool.
Was that Zach's graduation party?
It had to have been. Probably.
Have been. When he graduated from high school.
Yeah, no, that was definitely, his graduation was later, because
okay.
it was my freshman year of college.
All right.
because you graduated a year ahead of me from college.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was my freshman year of college between my senior year of high school and freshman year at Gannon that you were staying with the Coons at their mm-hmm. house. And so we met there, studied for 8 years. Like I was saying before, went to Cathedral Prep for 4 years for high school, Gannon University and St. Mark Seminary. So Gannon was where I went and got my degree from. Degree in philosophy. Woo, great fun that is. Necessary, though. Originally went for computer science, almost got that degree. And
I'm going to go back to philosophy.
Yeah.
I think it's extremely necessary.
Oh,
especially,
absolutely.
Especially if you really want to look into the Catholic Church and what the church doctors,
yeah,
what was going on in their minds.
Yeah.
I just in the past couple of weeks just been trying to explore the basics of it because it is complicated, and I did take a course in college that I think I probably failed out of. I can't remember. I think it was one of those you could pick one pass fail.
Yeah,
and it was like I just squeaked by to pass.
Understandable.
And I wish I would have paid more attention because now I have an interest in it.
Yeah,
and I don't even know where to start.
Well, we can definitely take care of that.
Fantastic.
After you know. It's nice to be able to use my philosophy degree once in a while, but honestly, you're right. It's something that I think every seminarian at one point in time in their undergrad years or their pre-theology years, they all say the same thing of, why in the heck do I have to study philosophy?
Yeah.
What is this going to be useful for? This piece of paper, it's not even worth the money for it. It actually is, because uh-huh. the minute you start studying theology, you start to realize that the church fathers have that background and understanding of the Greek philosophers, because that's what the church was fighting against mm-hmm. and trying to teach against and trying to explain against. And the only
and even
way
later can, with St. Thomas.
Yeah. Throughout all of history,
uh-huh.
the church has been present, the Church of Jesus Christ specifically, because the church has always been present through the Jewish people, but specifically with the advent of the Greeks and the Romans, philosophy has been important. And the same heresies that they were dealing with back in the time of Christ and back in the time of the early church are the same heresies that we're dealing with today.
Yes.
Paganism is still rampant in our world today.
Under relativism.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Relativism and moralistic relativism is a high one right now.
Oh, yeah.
And so dealing with the same things that they did then, well, you know, learning from the masters really helps to further our own abilities in the church. So studying for 4 years at Gannon, getting a degree in philosophy. Then in 2014, Bishop Persico assigned me to study at St. Vincent's in La Trobe, St. Vincent's Seminary in La Trobe, where the Archabbey, the original Archabbey for the United States, for the Benedictines, was founded. And not only that, but Boniface Wimmer, when he came over and founded it, it was expected to be massive, but not as big as it is now. It's the largest, if I remember right, because it's something I had to learn when I was there, but of course I don't remember everything. It was something like, it's the largest in the world male Benedictine monastic house.
Wow.
Yeah. So it has that many members, and not only that many members, but it also has that many professed living in the monastery. So like sometimes in the monastery you would live at the main house, or then you'd live, or you could be living in a priory, for instance. There's a priory in Brazil, there's a priory over in China. My classmate Father Martino Zavallo Chavez is the, I want to say he is the prior down at the priory in Brazil, so he's come a long way. But he also, I wish we could get him on the podcast. It'd be awesome, because he, Father Martino, worked in a nuclear power plant as a nuclear physicist. He has his doctorate in nuclear physics. Like, it's just insane. And he became a monk and a priest.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That would be, we can get him on. We should get him on. Whether, you know, record on Skype or whatever it is, we'll get him on.
He's awesome. Father Martino, he was a great classmate to have down at St. Vincent's. One of the most humble guys. I never would have thought how old he was. He does not look, he looks like 29.
Oh, yeah?
He does not. He looks like us. And he's amazing. So, you know, I met a lot of monks, a lot of cool guys down in St. Vincent's, studied there for 4 years, and ended in 2018 with my Master's of Divinity. I had to think about that for a second. Master's of Divinity.
Wow, cool.
So, just talking education, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a lot more to it, and there's a lot more about who am I. You know, it's not just my education, it's not just my ordination that makes me who I am. It's the life experiences and the different things that we have going on. So, you know, one of the questions that you pose here is, what do you do as a profession? What do I do as a profession? That's a good question.
You just a priest, or do you do a little bit more than that?
I mean, obviously,
you can't just say, yeah, that must be a really hard question for you to answer.
When I think the best time that I always get these questions are when I'm getting my hair cut.
And speaking of, and I was going to save this, but speaking of getting your hair cut, I got a haircut today.
I was going to say, I thought
you like it. Haircut. Doesn't it look nice?
Yeah, it looks good. Looks good.
And Desiree at Sports Clips in Erie did a fantastic job.
Is she the one on West 12th Street?
On Peach.
Oh, you went to the Peach Street. She was one. On okay. Peach.
And she's actually one of those people who actually seems like they like their job and cares. Yeah. And giving me all this, like, you should do this with your hair and you should do this. And perfect. Awesome. I should have let her shampoo my hair because now I'm all itchy.
See, every time I go to Sports Clips, because that's the same one I go to, depending on which one's not as busy, but usually it's the one on Peach Street. I go to that Sports Clips, and I always let them wash my hair because, you know what? It's nice. I just like, they use that minty fresh soap.
Yeah, make your head. You pay an extra $5.
It's totally worth it.
I don't know, because it includes that massage and everything.
I skip the massage.
So $5 to get your head washed?
Totally worth it.
I don't know.
The head wash and the hot towel on the face and to sit back and relax. Oh, I can't
relax somewhere like that.
I enjoy it.
I can relax like that at home. I can't relax like that anywhere else.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're in Erie and you go there, ask for Desiree.
Oh, yeah. Desiree.
She's awesome. She was great. But I'm a little itchy.
Yeah.
Speaking of haircuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
So, I mean, the place that I always get the question of, so what do you do? I hate it. Because sometimes, I really shouldn't say I hate it because I don't mind it. It really doesn't bother me. It used to bother me a lot more, especially when I was in seminary, because they have Sports Clips down in La Trobe as well. You know? And so I'd go to get my hair cut, and they'd always say, so what are you doing? You know, you just get out of work. It usually was afternoon. They say, you get out of work early today or something. I said, well, actually, I'm studying over at St. Vincent's. At this point, I don't look like a college student, because I'm not. I'm a grad student this way. Mm-hmm. You know, I've gone through 4 years of college. I'm 22, 23 at that point.
You got a beard going on.
Well, that was the other thing. When I was at St. Mark's and Gannon, I had a clean-shaven face. And then the minute I got to St. Vincent's, I'm like, forget this. And I haven't shaved my face since then. So it's been 4 years, 5 years now that I haven't shaved my face. Probably should, though. You know, so they always ask you, what are you doing? They're trying to strike up a conversation. They're bored out of their mind for the most part. What do you do? So I'd say, I'm over at St. Vincent studying. Oh, what are you studying? Well, I have a dilemma, because then what do I answer? What is it the answer is going to be? Oh, I study theology. Theology? What are you going to do with that? Well, I'm studying to be a Catholic priest. Oh. And I thought for the longest time they would just, oh, and that was it. And then the conversation was dead. Like, there was nothing left.
And they probably cut your hair crooked and all that stuff.
Well, you know, it's funny because I used to have to drive like 20 minutes to get to the near Sports Clips in La Trobe. Because actually it wasn't in La Trobe, it was in Greensburg that I had to go over to, which isn't far if you're familiar with the area. It's not a far drive, but it's long enough that you have to drive there. Well, I kept ending up getting the same person. I just happened to be there at the same time every month or so to go get my hair cut, and it was the same person. And so she started telling me about herself a little bit, and she informed me that she's actually an Orthodox Christian who's dating a Roman Catholic, but she wants to get married in the Catholic Church, but she wants to be married in her church building. I said, well, I have something to save you. You know, I told her about how she could become Catholic but retain her traditions because of the Eastern Catholic churches. So it's not just the Roman Catholic. And she said, wait a minute. You're telling me that all I'd have to do is listen to the Holy Father? I said, there's a few other things, but basically, yes, that's about it, you know? So that completely changed our relationship. And that was when I was driving 20 minutes away. Then she informs me, yeah, I got the position to be the manager at the new Sports Clips, which is right next door. And literally, it was, you came out of the driveway at St. Vincent's, and it was right there, so I didn't have to go as far, which was cool. So I would go there, and she'd always, the minute she saw me sitting there, she said, I'm taking him, I'm taking him. So it was cool. So we got to have this relationship, all because all I said was one day, well, I'm studying because to become a Catholic priest. And 3 years later, you know, she was talking to me about how she was entering the Catholic Church that year at Easter.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's so weird. It's these weird occurrences. So, you know, when you go to the, when I would go to get my hair cut, and they to this day still ask, so what do you do? You know, the other, I went up to the one on Pete Street and got my hair cut most recently. And she said, so what do you do? I said, oh, well, I paused just like that, kept thinking, how do I answer this?
I save souls.
Yeah, like, okay, I could say something like that, but she'd still look at me like, okay, you're really weird, and I'm going to call security now? So I said, I'm a Catholic priest. She said, well, wait a minute, you're not in your collar. And I said, well, I don't have to wear that all the time. I said, I'm on my day off. I just had a doctor's appointment, and I had some time to kill in between my other appointment that I had at noon, so needed a haircut. It was nasty. It was really long and greasy.
That's how mine was.
Well, it's horrible. And then when it gets really long, you can't do it. It was just bad. So
she's probably like, whoa, priests are normal people too.
Well, yeah, completely.
I'm sure a lot of people like that.
A lot of people like that. Throws them for a loop. I think my favorite story still has to be when I, so being here in Meadville about 4 months or so, I started August in 2018. So it was about 4 months, about Christmas time. And I was out to dinner with a friend of mine from high school. He came to visit. We're out to dinner. And one of the parishioners' sons walks up to me. You know, he's 8 years old. I don't know how tall 8 years olds are. And he comes up to the table and says, Father? Because I was, once again, I'm in jeans and a t-shirt with a sweatshirt because I'm just out to lunch with a friend from high school. He's like, your father? I said, yeah. He said, you don't look what I expected you to look like. Why aren't you at church? I said, well, you know, I had to eat too. And his mother comes walking up and says, oh, hi, Father. And she says, sorry about that. I said, oh, I don't mind. But that just blew his mind. Like, you're not in church? That's what funny. Do you mean you're not in church? Just like the kids when they see their teacher outside of school.
I remember growing up, the one time it just kind of threw me for a loop. I'm walking by the church and Father's sitting on his porch smoking a cigar and drinking a glass of wine. I'm like, wait, they do that?
Yeah. And here we are drinking beer. Yeah. Good beer. Gotta, you know.
Repping Yingling.
Pennsylvania America's first lager, is it? Oldest lager? I think it's the oldest running lager.
America's oldest still running brewery. There were breweries before, but they closed.
That's right. And didn't they experience a fire? Ah, that's another story for another day. Yeah. But still sporting that, having a beer, you know, just sitting around. We're normal people. And that's the most important thing to think about is you knew me before. And not that it bothers me. Trust me, it doesn't bother me. But every so often I notice, you know, you'll say Andy, or and most people, for instance, my mother, another great story. For a month, I was at another parish before I got here to Meadville right after ordination. And it's literally the church is a mile from my parents' house.
Yeah.
It's not the one they belong to, but it's right there. And so they would come to Mass because I was celebrating the Mass. And I'm hearing confessions, as you do before the Saturday night Mass, and my mother walks into the sacristy, and the deacon for the parish is there getting ready for Mass, and she walks in and says, where's Andrew? And the deacon's just like, who are you talking about? What are you talking about? She says, you know, Andrew. And my dad walks in behind her and says to the deacon, she means the priest. Oh, he's hearing confessions. My mother just didn't even realize that she kept saying Andrew, and she's not saying, oh, I have to say Father now. You know, it was right after that. And like I've said, you know, it doesn't bother me in the least, especially friends and family that I've known before priesthood. It's hard to do that transition.
I'm sure.
It's hard to do that transition from, oh, this is Father Andy, from when it used to just be, oh, this is my friend Andy, you know. And I don't, like I said, it doesn't bother me, but it's funny when I hear that because it sometimes catches me off guard too. I remember when I'm first walking into my parish, I'm walking from my car into the office to sign checks and whatnot. And this woman comes running up behind me and says, "Father, father." And I'm not paying any attention. I'm on my cell phone trying to check my email, get caught up on what's going on for the day. "Father, father." Finally, she gets to the door and she puts her hand on the door just like that, as loud as that was, and says, "Why didn't you stop and answer me?" And I looked at her. I said, "Oh, you're talking to me. Oh, I'm so sorry." He said, "You're so funny." He said, no, seriously. This is new. This is a month, not even a month old. And I was like, I completely forgot. So yeah, what is it that I do for a profession? Save souls would be part of it. At least I would pray and hope that that's part of it. But being a friend, being a father, being a pastor, being an assistant, being, you know, just there's a lot of things to my profession. And it's not just my profession, it's my vocation.
Sure. A friend of mine, he's a leadership consultant. And I was having lunch with him the one day. And he says, you know, every time I meet somebody that, I'm coaching leadership-wise in the company, I'll ask them, "What do you do?" And their answer is always, "Well, I'm the director of whatever department."
Yeah.
No, and he's like, no. "What do you do? You know, what is your daily job? What are the things you're responsible for?" That's what you do. A title is just a title.
That's right.
Anyone can be the director of marketing, but if you are not a good leader, or if you're not a marketer, if you don't have those qualities, then it's just a title.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's the same for the priesthood as well.
Absolutely.
You have priests who will go above and beyond, and then I'm sure you have some that do the bare minimum, just like in the private sector where I work. You have some people that excel, and they come in early, they leave late, they give 110%, and then you have other people who are clocking in 2 minutes after, you know, time starts, and they're waiting to clock out right at the end of the day, and they put in just the bare minimum to get by. So it's kind of everywhere.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's the most important thing to understand when we talk about priests or normal human beings, is there's good priests and bad priests.
But you're never off duty.
Well, that's also true.
You have days off and you're never off duty.
That's absolutely true. You know, I when I'm here, Tuesday is technically my day off. And that's the problem with staying in the rectory on your day off, is everybody knows where you're at. And so even when I'm off, people will come up and I ring the doorbell and knock, bang on the door. Not just knock, bang on the door. The phone rings off the hinges 24/7. I'm surprised it hasn't rung yet while we're recording.
Yeah.
Right before you got here, I had 3 phone calls. So, you know, it's a constant. It's a constant. But it's not... If I looked at it as a job, it would totally be easy to say, forget this, I'm not doing this.
Right.
I mean, it's not a job.
Yeah, it's way more than that.
I mean, yeah, it's how I make my living, but I could do a lot of things to make a living.
Mm-hmm. How I can compare it, and it's not as, it's definitely not as earth-shattering as it may seem, but, you know, being a part-time law enforcement officer,
yeah,
even when I'm off duty, I'm still Officer Dragone with the Pennsylvania Game Commission.
Yeah.
And people know that in the neighborhood. And I will get calls when I'm not working.
Yep.
And since I'm part-time, I'm not working most of the time.
Yep.
And, you know, you have to answer those questions. If you have to take down the information, if it's someone that's, you know, shooting deer illegally,
yep,
whatever it is.
Yep.
And it kind of follows you everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no matter what we do, our jobs, those kinds of jobs, and I think the best way to talk about these types of works, these types of jobs, is to understand that it's a part of the service industry.
Yes.
My mother being a doctor, specifically in nurse midwifery, and working on call, like she was on call yesterday, at a moment's notice, a woman goes into labor,
yep,
and she has to go to the hospital. And I don't think everybody understands that. You know, the minute that phone rings and it's the hospital and says, Mrs. Johnson is dying, I got to go. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I'm the one on call, if I'm the one that is responsible that day, and if I'm the only priest around, if I get that phone call, I have to go. And it's not that I have to, but it's a necessary thing.
Absolutely.
And it's something that I think we all would want in that moment when we're at our final breath, is, okay, they called the priest, he's going to be there.
Yeah, not he's three sheets to the wind.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Passed out in a gutter somewhere.
Or oh, Father, we can't find Father. That's even worse. It's, oh, no, we can't find Father. He didn't answer the phone. We can't find him. So it's working in the service industry and doing things in the service industry. We are never off the clock. And that is where we need to focus when it comes to our spirituality, our Christianity, when it comes to our faith, is we are never off the clock. We are
even when you're
always
on the clock. And we're going to cover that in a future episode.
Absolutely.
Is, you know, a lot of people and their companies that they work for pressure them into kind of abandoning their faith while they're on the clock.
Right.
You will not do these things, or you will do these things that are contrary to your faith,
right,
while you're here, and as a condition of your employment, basically.
And whether that, it's being that's a, illegal.
Yeah, well whether it's
in
being
the United
a,
States, at least.
Well, you sure, but it happens.
Oh, it does. Oh, absolutely, it does. It absolutely does. Yeah, and I hear about it all the time.
And a lot of people, just, you know, through peer pressure and everything else too, will, you know, they'll leave Jesus at the door.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that in a future episode. But I like how you mentioned that. You know, just as Christians, we're never off the clock.
No.
And in fact, you can rejoice in that. I love it. I take Jesus to work with me all the time. I carry a small rosary in my pocket and I pray throughout the day.
Yeah.
Especially when, like, geez, when something happens, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. Just Father, Son, Holy Spirit, yeah, and let's take
simple
care of this.
Prayer. Yeah? Simple prayer. Yeah. And that's important to recognize. We are all in that sense of in the service industry, is that we don't stop with our faith, because it's our faith that gets us through everything. And I think a great image of that is, I had to go to the hospital today to anoint three people. But with one situation, I was talking with the daughter of the person who is dying. And she said to me, you know, it's God's will. And I said, you know, God bless you for having such strong faith to be able to maintain that and be able to say that even in the difficult times. Because it's so much easier just to say, screw you, God, and walk away from it.
Yeah.
Especially in those difficult times. But it's sticking with him through the thick and through the thin. And so I hope and pray that that's what we can do in this podcast. That this is not just two guys getting around just sitting and talking all the time, but rather an opportunity for us to share our faith journey with our listeners to allow them to encounter Christ in a new way.
Yeah, and I like how you mentioned, you know, the highs and the lows. You know, it's really easy to thank God for the things that you have. It's really hard to thank God for the things that are wrong in your life.
Yeah.
And we should be thanking him for everything that he gives us, even if it's something that is difficult. Sometimes he gives us a very difficult task that we don't want to do.
Yeah.
And you look at it as a burden, and why me? Why are you doing this to me? When, you know, if you just, you turn it around, just be thankful for it. And we'll talk a little bit about that, I think, in our Thanksgiving episode, which will launch around the same time as this one.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite joke stories, just to kind of give an end to this area, is that there's this little lady, and every day she opens her door. I don't know if you've heard this one, but it's a good one. She opens her door. She shouts out to the whole world, oh God, please bring me food. Please bring me food. Please bring me food. Every day, please bring me food. And her next door neighbor, who is an atheist, is getting irritated every day because at 7 a.m. this old woman is shouting out into the streets, oh God, please bring me food. Please bring me food. And so finally, one day, he gets an idea. I know it'll shut her up. I'll go out and buy her food and leave it at her door. So she opens the door and she says, oh, thank you, God. Thank you for bringing the food. And he looks over at her and says, old woman, God didn't bring you that food. I went out and bought it so you'd shut up. And she says, God, thank you for converting this sour heart, for bringing me this food and using him as your instrument. And that, I think, is a wonderful way to look at it, that even though, you know, this old jerk, because he had a very dark, sour heart. This man that had a sour heart looking at this woman thinking she's a fool. And yet God answered her prayers through someone that would never have expected to be the answer to someone's prayers.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. And that goes, you know, you can find things like that throughout the church, especially with popes and bishops and priests who may have been bad people, who God was still working through them in their positions. And not everything is bad because of it.
Right.
So.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
Absolutely.
So what do you want to learn? What do you want to use selfishly? What do you want to learn in this podcast?
Ooh.
What do you want? You know, what do you want to take away from it?
It's a good question. That's a really good question. I think for me as a priest, I think that sometimes the most difficult part about being a priest is it's, like you said, constantly being on the clock with very little return. And so what I'm thinking about with this is with the whole...
You want to get rich off of this?
I want to get rich. That's right. Yeah, I want return. It's more about the return on being able to hear how our faith journey needs... how our faith journey can impact someone else.
Yes.
And specifically how what we're doing, hopefully, will impact our listeners. But then we're not always going to hear from them. But being able to share our lives together in a different way, in more than a way that I think than we would have ever thought each of us would be encountering one another.
Sure.
You know, I don't think when we first met that we would have thought, yeah, we'll be doing a podcast together someday, or even just sitting around talking about
faith. In fact, actually, you failed me. You failed me.
I know.
Because, I don't know if you remember, you know, my wife and I knew each other from pretty much the day we met, first day of college. And I always said, you're going to marry us. And you said, I won't be able to. I won't be
a priest
by that.
That's right.
And I was like, what the heck, Andy?
Yeah.
How long does this thing take?
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
You were like, well, I might be a deacon by that point. Well, you weren't. You still weren't.
No, you guys got married
too soon. I had a daughter by the time you were. We went to your ordination to be a deacon with my one-year-old daughter.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where you failed me.
I know.
You were supposed to marry us.
There's a lot more failures. You should see the list. I try to keep a tally of all the failures I've had in life. Because
when you die, you're going to have a big book of failures to pass on to somebody.
The books that I could write, the stories that I could share with people. I might just have to do that because I think you would get a kick out of everything.
Oh, man.
Everything that I as a priest encounter, and I think my brothers would agree with some of the crazy things we encounter. It just makes you kind of tilt your head and just shake your head and think, why, Lord? Why me? Why is it that I have to experience this? Why is it that I have to experience this? So, but I think being able to share my faith, but also be able to hear back how my faith either impacts someone or helps someone. I think it's those little stories, like I said, about the woman with the haircut and just explaining to me that she was getting married. And then after she got married, she wanted her child to be... So the main reason why she wanted to be married in her church but wanted the Catholic rite or wanted to be Catholic was because of her husband. But she wanted her children to be baptized the way she was baptized. Specifically... Russian Orthodox Church, in her church, they did the old immersion.
Sure.
But as a baby, and they do it by, not every church, but they do it by grabbing their ankles and dunking the child three times. She wanted that for her child. I said, you're crazy. As someone at this point in my life could baptize people. See, look at this. Look at this.
Your uncle.
Luckily, that one was an accidental call. They were trying to call the pastor. But, you know, it's kind of funny like that. It can just, any point in time, it can ring. It can ring. So, but yeah, being able to encounter other people and see where they're at in their faith journeys so that they can experience Christ in a new way.
I can't wait to hear more about the dunking the baby upside down. One of the things that I want to take away from this, I want to learn more about the other rites of the church. How many there are? 23, 25?
So you have the different, you have the Eastern Church and the Western Church. And within the Eastern Church, there's a bunch of different rites. I'm not going to stick a number because I'd have to look that up. It's like 23. I can't remember the exact amount, but there's a bunch.
I would like to have at least somebody from, you know, each of those rites on the show at some
point. Oh gosh, it's not going to happen, but I will try.
Well, maybe some of them. Maybe some.
When I go to the Holy Land, I'll see if I can interview some.
Okay, we could do that. Or we have I think this thing called the internet.
Oh, yeah. Skype, there is that thing
called the internet. And all that stuff. Yeah, we don't have to have them.
We could possibly get Father Boniface Hicks, if he's listening. Father Boniface Hicks, if anybody's from the Diocese of Greensburg or St. Vincent area, he's a Benedictine monk that is the director of spiritual formation at the seminary, at St. Vincent Seminary. And one of the things that he is he's by ritual. What does that mean? I'm ordained in the Roman Rite. I would love to be by ritual and be able to celebrate the Eastern Rite. But he's not just an Eastern Rite priest. He is a Marianite Rite priest. And that is something, that's another one of those 23 rites that you're talking about. I want to learn more. That would be something that I would, even as a priest, I want to learn more about that.
The process, how do you do it?
Yeah.
What does it mean for your faith? Like, is it like if you were bilingual? How do you think? Yeah. You know, do you think in English or do you think in Italian or whatever? I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of talking crazy now, but that's really one thing I want to learn more about.
I like that idea.
That's kind of the main thing. And like you, I want to selfishly want to help other people. Sure. That's what I've done since I was 15 years old as a lifeguard, and then a firefighter, EMT, law enforcement, and kind of what I do at work now is kind of advisory and helping people get processes better. So, yeah. That's what I want to learn. That's what I want to do. And I'm hoping that people receive us in a kind way. I mean, we're open to criticism as well. I know I say the word a lot.
So and I know we're going to get a lot of comments, especially on YouTube. And I'm going to get the ones for...
You can't go through the YouTube comments.
No.
Nothing good lives in there.
No.
It's nothing but like a cesspool of evil, typically, when you look on those things. It'll drive you insane.
Oh, yeah.
I think actually... Joe Rogan says, "Don't look at the comments."
No, I have this really old YouTube video out there from high school. I had to do a project on Frank Lloyd Wright, and actually, I was just looking at it a little bit ago. And
it's one of those cringeworthy
things. Actually, I mean, other than having to listen to myself talk, I think it was a really good project. But there are people out there that were just being nasty. Mm-hmm. And this was years ago. I turned off the comments because I just couldn't take. Getting any more such negative comments, but it's had over 14,000 views. Wow. I never would have thought that we would have had that many views. In fact, I think I might have got rid of that. But yeah, 14,000 views on a video that I had done all the way back in high school. So I don't expect a lot of views. But in the same time, I would be really happy if what you could do, as I point to the camera to our audio listeners. What you could do is you can like, share, comment, and take this out to the world so that we can get more likes and we can become famous. And then maybe
we'll share the wealth with you. No, just kidding. There's no money in this.
No,
there's
no money.
Absolutely no money.
And we're not looking to make money.
No.
But what would be fun is if we can get our own radio show on Catholic radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
We'd have to do it. We really got to get better at this.
Yeah, we got to do better than Bishop Barron.
Ooh. I'm even thinking like better than Lino Rulli.
I hope you're listening because this is a challenge.
Oh, it's really a challenge. Lino, if you remember 3 years ago, I know that this doesn't mean much to you, but 3 years ago from when we're recording this in 2019, Lino, I met you. And I was getting on a flight to come back from Rome to the United States. And you just happened to be getting on the same plane as us. And you just happened to offer me your first class seat.
Whoa.
And then immediately took it away.
Oh.
And tweeted about the entire experience. And then I responded back to you, Lino. Lino, I will never forget. I will never forget. You hurt me, Lino. Deep, deep. No, it's all right. You know, it's all right. Next time I see you, I'll be in first class and I'll just watch you trot right on back to the back of the plane.
I can't afford first class.
Yeah, me neither. It's a nice thought, but it's no.
Yeah, no.
I mean, even when I go to the Holy Land, I really wish I could get one of those seats that lays down so you can sleep.
I can't imagine. How long is that flight?
Oh, I don't remember. I'm sure you take
some sleeping pills and pass out.
It was a very long, miserable flight. I just remember... It was long because we went straight from Toronto to Tel Aviv.
Okay.
One
That's crazy
flight.
No, thank you.
It was long. It was long.
But I don't leave the country.
Yeah.
Maybe I will someday. I just I don't have any reason to right now.
So yeah, listeners, viewers, watchers, everybody out there, make sure that you share this podcast.
What time are we at here?
We are at 50 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We really went long.
That's kind of the sweet spot.
Yeah.
I want to talk about some of like the episodes that we have planned for the future so that if you're still listening, maybe there's things that you can look forward to. So
entice away.
Yeah. With Thanksgiving coming up, we're going to have a show on Thanksgiving, even though it's not a Christian holiday.
Anyway.
Yeah. Spiritual direction. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about Mary several times because that's a very big topic to cover in one episode.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Where are my notes here? Oh, boy. Oh, evangelization in the 21st century.
Oh, yes. The topic that we absolutely have to cover.
Because that's what we are. This is evangelization in the 21st century.
That's right.
We're going to talk about the Eucharist and what it means to us as Catholics.
Yes.
And unfortunately, what a lot of Catholics believe about it that isn't true with the pew poll. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the future. Why we pray for the dead.
Yes.
Is another one. And the importance of friendships, manly friendships, you know, brotherhood, things of that nature, sisterhood even too. I don't have a lot of experience with that, but maybe
but maybe we can get someone on. Yeah. I think there's a few people that I'm thinking maybe we could get on for that one.
I'm sure there are. And maybe we can do an episode on parenting. I'm a young father and my children are I have two children, 1 and 3 years old. So I don't have a whole lot of experience, but maybe we can, you know, get someone on there as well that has, you know, maybe 10 kids and that they're all grown up and everything. It can tell us a little bit about their experiences.
That'd be good.
Because I want to have 10 kids. My wife doesn't want 10 kids. I want like 10 kids.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, I think she's going to be done after the next one. But I would love to have a big Catholic family. So cool. I'd like to bring someone on and talk about that too. So those are some of the episodes we have planned for the future. And again, every Wednesday, we're going to start releasing episodes. We're trickling out a few to begin with right off the bat so that if you want to binge listen, you're welcome to.
If you for some reason caught this first one, I would suggest taking and we're going to release them right before Thanksgiving. So that way, if you have to travel for Thanksgiving, you can listen to them as you're driving or riding or flying or doing whatever it might be that you're going to do.
Absolutely. So
binge away.
Yeah. So what's website, social media?
We're doing, yeah, you can check it all on our website, encountermercy.com. It'll be up here when you are listening to this. So you can go to our website and see all the fun that we have planned and make sure that you give us a like, send us your feedback. We do want to hear the feedback.
Oh, yeah, even if it's bad feedback.
Even if it's bad feedback. Even if it's
just
bad feedback.
Don't be a butthead.
Yeah.
Like, just, I respond well to constructive criticism because at least I'll know what to fix.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, you suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm sure we'll get, and that's fine too. But I can't get any better if I just learn, hey, you suck.
Yeah. Just, or for your own ideas for podcasts or topics, you know,
we would love that.
Drop us a message. We'll have a link on our website so you can drop us a message and we'll have all that available. And like I said earlier, a phone number within the United States, not international just yet. I mean, you can call, but it's going to cost you, I think. Depends. Yeah. Depends on your phone company. But we'll have a phone number here soon that you can call and leave a voicemail, and we will do our best to listen to them all. And
what's our email address? Because we can send questions there too.
You should not have asked that yet.
Oh, you don't have it set up yet?
We're not set up yet.
Okay, that's fine. We'll get that on the next episode. So that means you're going to have to listen to the next episode if you want to send us an email that we can read over the air.
That's right.
But for
now, check the website.
Yeah.
Because when you're listening to this, the website will have all of that available to you.
Yes.
See, this is what I'm saying. Because nothing's set up yet when we're recording.
You're the puppet master. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry for hitting that mic there.
Most importantly, subscribe to the podcast. Because if you don't subscribe, then it's not going to trickle to you every week, and you're going to have to find it, and then you'll eventually, inevitably, forget about us. And we don't want to be forgotten about. We want you to remember us.
Love us.
Love us.
We miss you.
Pray for us.
We need you.
And I think that's all I got.
I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day and whatever time of day that you're listening to this to. Have a great rest of your day, and may God bless you and keep you keep you safe for the rest of your life.
Yes, and drive safe if you're traveling for Thanksgiving, please.
Please. Hopefully you're not watching the video for this if you're driving.
No.
Unless you're driving a Tesla.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
I want one of those cars. That's another topic.
I've driven one. We'll talk about
Me
that
too.
Later.
Yeah. Love it. I love it. All right. Be good. We'll see you soon.